Hello and welcome to Dig This, Music with a Message. I'm your host, Craig Boyer, joined with co-host, Professor Pamela Spoto. Hello, Pamela.
Hello, Craig.
And our friend, mentor, and engineer, Shane Houchins. Hello, Shane.
Hello.
Our goal is to entertain and enlighten with music that is more than love tunes. Now, our first show will feature 9 to 10 songs with some discussion in between that looks at life and how we live it. Today's show's theme is Purpose in Life, and we'll begin with a song written and performed by a local professor, Paul Calkins, who instructs at Shasta College. Paul had one idea in mind when he wrote it, and he'll share that with us, but for me, it sparked thoughts of how we all have ideas, vague or otherwise, about our purposes in life at any given time that can change given changed circumstances. So we'll explore some of that in discussion after the songs are played. Paul Calkins has joined us in studio. Hello, Paul, and welcome.
Hello, Craig. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. And now, enjoy Purpose in Life.
Amanda LeBeau, born in Fresno, finished high school and then hit the road. She angled for pleasure, she reeled in her pain. She thought about a purpose in life. Watching TV at Circuit City, she learned about a girl who lived in a tree. She fluttered so high like a new butterfly. She seemed to have a purpose in life. Purpose in life, purpose in life. Ain't sure about the meaning, but I'm good at strife. I live in a tree, bear my body for freedom. Talking about a purpose in life. Now she felt well equipped. She followed the script. Amanda LeBeau began her own tree set. They gathered below, police and protesters both. She felt she had a purpose in life. But there's no sacred land, no old redwood stand. She had to make do with the props at hand. A mighty scrub oak and a video cam. She focused on her purpose in life. Purpose in life, purpose in life. I hear my life story played on a fife. I live in a tree, bear my body for freedom. Talking about a purpose in life. Hard making history when the good fights are already fought. I've been watching those draft cards are burning on my iPod. Berkeley. His only real wish was to be happy, but he didn't really know it, why he wanted to show it. He saw it as a purpose in life. He said getting dressed made us all oppressed. Showed up in the nude to take a history test. No one ever felt that the boy needed help. We thought it was his purpose in life. Purpose in life, purpose in life. Ain't sure about the meaning, but I'm good at strife. I'll live in a tree, bear my body for freedom. Talking about a purpose in life. Purpose in life, purpose in life. I
hear my life story played on a fife. I live in a tree, bear my body for freedom, talking about a purpose in life.
Well, Paul, what did you have in mind when you wrote Purpose in Life?
Well, Craig, just a warning. I've told the story before, and even I'm surprised at how long the story can get, so don't be afraid about reining me in. Well, way back in the summer of 2008, these news stories began to appear in regional papers, including the Record Searchlight, and they were about tree protesting in Berkeley. Specifically the University of California, Berkeley. And the story was that the university had decided to chop down some trees to build some more structures. And so they were building some more, they're going to plan to build some more structures. And some local people decided they didn't like that, they're going to stop. So if the story stopped there, it would have never made any newspaper headline. However, their manner of protesting was very extraordinary and very dramatic. And what they did is they emulated the historic protest of Julia Butterfly Hill up in Northern California. And so they were trying to emulate, for me, as far as I was concerned, they seemed to be emulating the means of protest in a place that was far away. Slightly different than Berkeley, because in the Redwood Forest there were these ancient redwoods, millennia old, and in Berkeley there were some very attractive oaks, but they weren't at the same stature of the redwoods. So it became kind of awkward in a sense that they had to sort of argue their warrant. You know, why is it worth putting your life on the line to save these oaks? And so they had to sort of make it up as they went along. And that reminded me of something that I had seen when I was a student there at Berkeley. So one of the complicated things about the song is that there's two stories. One is a story of tree protesters, and one is a story of a guy that I saw on campus, and he became known as the Naked Guy. And he was actually never naked, as far as I know. It was worse than that. He would design his own sort of loincloths, and sometimes you did something that you couldn't really figure out. You didn't want to look at it too long, but it looked like he was in a room with National Geographic for too many hours. So I thought, well, there's something similar going on here, because we have an age group that is just beginning to feel its way in the world, college-age people who are beginning to answer to the call of purpose. What is my purpose in life? And it's very natural that their first efforts would be kind of awkward and kind of transitional. And in these two cases, I felt that on their way towards adopting to a purpose, they were still very much involved with self. And so there's the awkward transition is a transition from self to the transition to something larger than self. But they weren't really aware of that yet. So there's a kind of satirical view in the song where I see something interesting going on, but I see something kind of funny going on as well. And so that was the basis and the starting point for the song.
Very good. I liked your explanation, and I see where you're coming from on that. Yeah, that is excellent. I love that song. It gets me every time. Okay, we're going to go on to the song I Am a Rock by Simon and Garfunkel. And we'll discuss that briefly as well. Okay, here we go.
Winter's day in a deep and dark December. I am alone, gazing from my window to the streets below on a freshly fallen silent shroud of snow. I am a rock, I am an rock. Built walls
their fortress deep and mighty, that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain. I am a rock. I am an island. Don't talk of love. Well, I've heard the word before. It's sleeping in my memory. I won't disturb the slumber of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I am a rock. I am an island. I have my books and my poetry to protect me. In my armor, hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I touch no one and no one touches me. I am a rock. I am an island. And a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries.
Okay, I am a rock, I am an island. And Shane was just talking about how it brought back memories of what year? What grade?
I'll say freshman year.
Freshman year, okay. I think it brought back memories for a lot of our listeners, probably. I wanted to share that for me, what happened is I was living in Washington State in Western Washington, and it was very gloomy, and there was only from mid-July to mid-August that we had good weather, where we had sunlight and consistently nice weather and warm and all that. And the rest of the year was all gray and cloudy, and even when it wasn't raining, it felt like it was. And so I became very depressed, clinically depressed, and I related to the song in a big way because I wanted to isolate and stay away from other people, not interact with anybody. And then I moved to California, and by design, I wanted to get to someplace that was sunny. And I found it in Redding, California. And then I blossomed, and I no longer was isolated, and I no longer was depressed. In fact, I was giddy. I was just plain jumping for joy, and that lasted for a full year, and then it tempered off, but to a good level. So that's how I relate to I Am a Rock, but I suspect other people don't have that same experience. So what say you?
Well, I was going to say that vitamin D from the sun certainly can make us feel really good. And I also wanted to say, when Paul was talking about purpose in life, he talked about moving from self to outer directed. And I think that that's part of that. I was talking with my partner this morning over coffee about what is the purpose of life? Answer me in one sentence. And he said hard. Something like, I think it would be the expansion of our consciousness. And part of that is moving from that narcissistic view of, and you know, being selfish or to the self, to being more cooperative, reaching out, sense of community, love, forgiveness. I mean, that's what I relate to. And also, as you touched on, I am a rock, you know, oh, I can be manly and tough, but really that isolation is causes many
heart attacks.
Yes, illnesses besides, physical ones. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I actually play the song I Am a Rock in my classes at some point, or I have done
that.
So, because to me, Paul Simon is using a short story writer trick. What he's doing is he creates a character who says something. And what he's saying is not what Paul Simon is saying. You know, Paul Simon is not saying, I'm a hero locked up in my room with my poetry and books to protect me. So he's trying to paint a portrait of someone who misunderstands his own isolation. And it's a great song because a lot of people at first don't get that. You know, my students were born in 1997. They've probably never heard the song. So it's a nice adventure to walk through it with them and to get them to try to see how the song allows you to see more than the character sees himself about his own isolation. And so I love it for that reason. I love it when songwriters take tricks from novelists, from poets, and from short story writers, because it's very rare, but I find it very interesting.
Okay, thank you so much, Paul. And now it's time for station identification.
You are listening to KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio in Round Mountain, Bella Vista. KKRN is community supported. If you like what you hear, you can donate at kkrn.org. Now back to Music with a Message with host Craig Boyer and guest Paul Calkins.
Okay, thank you, Pamela. And our next song is by John McCutcheon. It's Room at the Top of the Stair. And I chose this song to represent home and family. So here is the song Room at the Top of the Stair.
There's a room in our house at the top of the stair. It was empty at first, but we knew you'd be there. The dog got excited the day that you came. Guess he thought you smelled weird, and I thought the same. But the cries and the changing that came every night were changing me too, till I thought that I might just stand in the doorway for hours and stare in that room at the top of the stair. There's a room in our house at the top of the stair. It was all yours for years, but then you had to share. Your calm world was burst by this loud little kid who mimicked and learned everything that you did. The games and adventures, the books and the plays, the hours of fantasy went on for days. And I watched in amazement this most unlikely pair in that room at the top of the stair. There's a room in our house at the top of the stair. Well, it was empty one night. We called everywhere. All those demons and danger that lurk in your heart slipped in through the door and tore us apart. Till we found you at last in another boy's home, safe and asleep and forgetting to phone. And I lie awake lost in a pure grateful prayer in that room at the top of the stair. There's a room in our house at the top of the stair. Now the door is shut tight and the stereo blares, and your mother is worried about your young ears. No one has seen your carpet in years, and the hole in the wall that you made with your fist. The anger of aging was too hard to resist, but the long light of love cast its shadow in there, in that room at the top of the stair. There's a room in our house at the top of the stair. Now the bed has clean sheets and the floors are all bare. An acceptable place when folks come to stay. your brother and you boxed and moved you away to a duplex apartment just across town. And I sit on the bed, and as the memories rain down, there's a hole in my heart where you'll always be there in that room at the top of the stair. In that room at the top of the stair.
Okay, room at the top of the stair, and that describes a kid coming home, a little baby in arms, and he or she is nurtured and loved until they finally leave home, and Papa sits there in the room in kind of a tearful mood that the young one is gone. So I'll just ask our panel here, did they have any experiences like that?
Well, I have not myself, but you know, sticking with our theme, I like the choice, Craig, because we have a situation where, in a sense, a purpose gets up and walks out of the room. That seems to be the theme of the song for a parent watching a kid grow up in a room and then confronting the emptiness of that room after the kid goes to college or what have you, and it can be a very traumatic experience, I'm sure, and McCutcheon's got such a virtuous sounding voice that, of course, we get right into the sentiment of the song and curl up next to it and can, you know, relate to it regardless of whether we've had a child walk out of the bedroom or not. So it's a very moving song in that sense.
I like the way you said that, curl up with a song.
Right.
That's my experience with that song. Pamela.
Well, I think at the end of the song, I just felt this deep sense of regret. That was my response to it, where the father was sitting on the bed and possibly regret for things that hadn't happened, or maybe just the emptiness of the child going away. And I've often, this is kind of a different twist on it, but I've often heard that when children leave home, that's one indication, a time for divorce, because the whole family has been focused on the children. And so it's really, and so there's that emptiness. What do we do now? And that's, and there's a sense of regret in that too.
That happens a lot. You made a good point there, because that really does happen with the kid's gone, and there's, now we're not relating to one another. With what held us together were the children. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Now we're going on to the politics. That's a very important part of our lives. Many of us find a purpose in life with politics.
Oh no, not me.
Yeah, listeners. Pamela very definitely has opinions about politics, as do I, and probably Paul as well, and Shane. But she's going to be sharing something called Environmental Watch next week, and we're looking forward to that as well. But the politics on this is about war and the killing and all of that sort of thing. So these songs are Bob Dylan's Masters of War, and we'll follow that immediately with Buffy St. Marie's Universal Soldier.
Come, you masters of war. Here that build the big guns. Here that build the death planes. Here that build all the bombs. Here that hide behind walls. Here that hide behind discs. I just don't want you to know I can see through your masks. You that never done nothing but build to destroy. You play with my world like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes. And you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly. Like Judas of old, you lie and deceive. a world war can be won. You want me to believe, but I see through your eyes, and I see through your brain, like I see through the water that runs down my drain. You fasten all the triggers for the others to fire, and then you sit back and watch when the death count gets higher. You hide in your mansion while the young people's blood flows out of their bodies and is buried in the mud. You've thrown the worst fear that can ever be hurled, fear to bring children into the world, for threatening my baby, unborn and unnamed. You ain't worth the blood that runs in your veins. How much do I know but to talk out of turn? You might say that I'm young, you might say I'm unlearned, but there's one thing I know, I'm younger than you. That even Jesus would never forgive what you do. Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find, when your death takes its toll, all the money you made will never buy back your soul. And I hope that you die, and your death will come soon. I follow your casket by the pale afternoon, and I watch while you're lowered down to your deathbed, and I stand over your grave till I'm sure that you're dead.
He's 5'2" and he's 6'4". He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31 and he's only 17. He's been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist and a Baptist and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, and he knows he always will kill you for me, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA. And he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan, and he thinks we'll put an end to war this way. And he's fighting for democracy, he's fighting for the Reds, he says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who must decide who's to live and who's to die, and he never sees the writing on the wall. But without him, how would Hitler have condemned him at Dachau? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon of the war, and without without him all this killing can't go on. He's the universal soldier, and he really is to blame. His orders come from far away no more. They come from him and you and me. And brothers, can't you see? This is not the way we put an end to war.
Okay, it's time for station identification.
You are listening to KKRN 88.5 FM, community radio in Round Mountain, Bella Vista. You're also listening to Music with a Message with host Craig Boyer and guest Paul Calkins.
Well, now we've just listened to Masters of War with Dylan and Buffy St. Marie's Universal Soldier. What say you, our panel?
Well, I have plenty to say. So I'll just get started.
Great.
But I'll keep it succinct because I only have, 1 minute. So I'll start talking right now. Bob Dylan is really an amazing writer on many different levels. And I think that, because I was kind of jotting down some notes here, and there's so much money to be made on war. And we just keep doing it. And he refers to that in his lyrics. You know, Jesus will never forgive you for what you did. I mean, Jesus was the Prince of Peace. I mean, how can you use Jesus to promote war? And there's so much suffering. The last thing I want to say, and Buffy St. Marie reminded me of this too, is that Dalton Trumbo and Johnny Got His Gun said, you know, put guns in our hands and we're going to turn them on you, you makers of war. And I just thought that's a really, really interesting twist. That's all.
Yes.
Paul.
Well, I wanted to say that, well, your theme name is Music with a Message. And I think when we baby boomers think about music with a message, we tend to think of this kind of message. It's the message of protest that was shaped by people like Bob Dylan and Buffy St. Marie. That is to say, it's often an angry message and a message of protest. These two songs are remarkable to me because they're unusually angry. And as a songwriter, what's interesting to me is how that purpose shapes the music. It shapes a certain kind of melody. If you were to play the melody to Masters of War on a piano or a guitar, it would sound very minimal and very jagged. And as it turns out, that becomes the most appropriate platform to protest or to have a kind of singing rhythm, which is like shouting. And if you listen to that rhythm, it's a lot like shouting. It's a platform for shouting. Also, both of these songs, they present the songwriter as a truth teller. There's a way in which the songwriter has a certain authority that perhaps the politician doesn't have when it regards war. That's something that I think goes back to Woody Guthrie as well. And Dylan does take that tradition forward. There's a way in which it might not matter exactly what the lyrics are. It's simply the tone and the stance of the song that has authority. So definitely music with a message.
Wouldn't you say that Buffy St. Marie, I mean, maybe you wouldn't say that. I mean, she has a very sweet voice to me.
No, I felt that both are unusual because they do express some anger, and that's fine. I think what's interesting to me, as I said, is that the anger will shape the song. It will shape a tone of voice. It will shape a kind of chordal tone. Both of these songwriters are people that have written many, many songs, and there's a variety of tones that they strike. But here, they made a decision to express anger. And so, you know, it's interesting at least to see how it affects the structure of a song.
Yeah, very good. And to me, it Universal Soldier in particular says, if we aren't willing to get out there and kill, it isn't going to happen. And I find, as I look through history, particularly the history in our country, that there are almost no wars that we've ever fought that we should have fought. Perhaps the exception would have been World War II, where we were attacked, the Day of Infamy and all of that. But other than that, and maybe one other war that I can think of, that's the rest of them have been military adventures that serve no purpose other than to make the world a worse place. So anyway, that's my take on it. We're going to go on now to a spiritual component in our lives, because that's important for many of us. And this next couple of songs, well, the one takes a cynical view of religion, but it's thought-provoking, and it's called God in a Drawer, and it's by Jeff Berkeley and Calman Hart, two singer-songwriters that I met in Oakland, California. Now, following that will be Let the Mystery Be by Iris DeMent. And so we'll get started on those two songs.
Well, Joe's a CEO, and God is his crutch. He leans on it heavy when he drinks too much. Sometimes he hits his wife, and sometimes he hits his kids. But he donates every Sunday, and he's forgiven for what he did. And he keeps God in a drawer, just in case he needs it. Unlocked and ready, on hold in the dark. And every now and then, he takes it out and reads it. He likes to keep God handy for when times get hard. Well, Mike's a politician, and God is his bank. He knows who to ask, and he knows who to thank. He knows people wear religion like a rope around their necks. So he gives a nod to Jesus, and the people write him checks. He keeps God in a drawer, just in case he needs it. Unlocked and ready, on hold in the dark. And every now and then, he takes it out and bleeds it. He likes to keep God handy for when times get hard. And he don't care about religion, he don't care about the truth. It's all about the people he controls. And there ain't no greater power than the power of God in the hands of men who have no soul. Jerry, he's a preacher, and God is his gun. He uses hell and heaven, it's just the way he gets things done. He says to love thy brother, unless thy brother disagrees. Then he prays for a weapon to bring thy brother to his knees. And he keeps God in a drawer, just in case he needs it. Cocked and ready, on hold in the dark. And every now and then, he takes it out and cleans it. He likes to keep God handy for when times get hard. He likes to keep God handy for when times get hard.
Everybody is worrying about where they're gonna go when the whole thing's done. suggest, let the mystery be. Some say what's gone, you're gone forever, and some say you're gonna come back. Some say you rest in the arms of the Savior if in sinful ways you lack. Some say that they're coming back in a garden, bunch of carrots and little sweet peas. I think I'll just let the mystery be. Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from. Everybody is worrying about where they're gonna go when the whole thing's done. But no one knows for certain, and so it's all the same to me. I think I'll just let the mystery be.
Okay, that Let the Mystery Be by Iris DeMent, and then we had God in a Drawer by Jeff Berkley and Calvin Hart. So what have you to say about these two songs?
Okay, let's see. I love Berkley Hart. They're from San Diego, my hometown. But God in a Drawer is, to me, once again, about the mishandling of purpose, to touch on that theme of purpose in life. So Or misuse, mishandling, misdirection of righteous purpose, in this case, God in a Drawer. And probably one of them, I guess, the most ironic song yet in your list, except perhaps the first one we played. So that's my take on that. Also, an interesting contrast is the song Let the Mystery Be, I believe is the name of it.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Because it's saying, let's just live in the mystery, let's not speak about any purpose, or let's not articulate any purpose. So it's a very different sort of approach than some of the other songs we've been listening to, because it says, don't bother talking about our purpose, let's just live.
Mm-hmm. I was reading something the other day, and it just, for some reason, Let the Mystery Be reminded me of that. The idea was to live in the question. You know, we want to find the answer to the question. I want to find the answer to the question. But the suggestion was, you live in the question, and if you get comfortable enough in that space, then you might find yourself living in the answer. And that resonates with me. I'm not exactly sure what it means, but it still resonates with me. And the first one, the one before that, I just wanted to say, for example, the irony of that is kind of, for me, is kind of like, oh, those homeless people, those poor people, just put them on a bus, get them out of here. When Jesus, the Prince of Peace, said, blessed be the poor, help. But that doesn't seem to be what happens a lot. Anyway, so those are my thoughts.
Very interesting. And with Let the Mystery Be, to me, what it was indicating is that the answer to our spiritual existence and our future, nobody really knows for sure. We all have formulas and ideas about what that might be, and each of us has a different spiritual path and a different idea. So in that song, it's saying, we'll let it be. We'll let the mystery be. Okay, our purpose in life. Oh, we've got the station identification now. Pamela.
Yes, just to remind our audience that you are listening to KKRN 88.5 Community Radio in Round Mountain and Bella Vista. KKRN is community supported. And here we are today with host Craig Boyer and his guest Paul Cockins with Music with a Message.
Okay, now we have our next one is going to be about aging. And so as we get older...
No!
Yeah, it's not a fun time. You know, it's they talk about it being the golden years, but of course, it's really the rust years. You know that. But so this is called Hello in There by John Prine, but it's performed by Farmstrong. It's a band from Squim, Washington. Okay, we'll share with you Hello in There.
Apartment in the city. Me and Loretta like living there. It's been years since the kids have grown, lives of their own, left us alone. John and Linda live in Omaha. Joey's somewhere on. We lost Davy in the Korean War. Don't know what for. Doesn't matter anymore. You know, old trees just grow stronger. Old rivers grow wider every day. Old people just grow lonesome. Wait for someone to say. Hello in there, hello. In Loretta, we don't talk much now. Sit and stare at the back door screen. All the news just repeats itself like some forgotten dream that we both see. Think I'll go and call a broody. Work together at the factory. Well, I say if he asks what's due, nothing much to do. Rudy, how about you? You know, old trees just grow stronger. Old rivers grow wider every day. Old people just grow lonesome. Wait for someone to say. Hello in there. So if you're walking down the street sometime, spot some hollow ancient eyes. Please don't pass them by instead. Like you don't care. Say hello in there. Hello. Don't pass them by instead, like you don't care. say hello and there, hello.
Life is a comedy. The part that we play is never as clear as it could be. Or maybe a drama, who is to say? But it always turns out as it should be. And if I am a player who's played his part well and did it with humor and grace, when I die, give me a standing ovation, a celebration for a job well done. No need to cry, it's not my final destination. I'll be at the station when the train comes by. You write your own story as the pages unfold, but you're never quite sure of the ending. Maybe it's destiny, maybe it's choice, maybe we're all just pretending. In a tale of a lifetime, if it all comes around and you only receive what you're sending, when I die, give me a standing celebration for a job well done. No need to cry, it's not my final destination. I'll be at the station when the train comes by. Some have it all, some work so hard for so little. We sink to the bottom and we rise to the top, but mostly wind up in the middle. The more we are different, the more we're the same. I'm just one more who's worked through the riddle. So when I die, give me a standing celebration for a job well done. No need to cry, it's not my final destination. I'll be at the station when the train comes by. When I die, give me a standing ovation, a celebration for a job well done. No need to cry, it's not my final destination. I'll be at the station train comes by.
Okay, we're back and about to wrap up. So I'm going to open it up to discussion of the last couple of songs we just heard.
Well, the first one was the John Prine song, Hello in There. And I thought it was a case where the song comes along and tries to shed light on something that people don't see in normal everyday life. So in other words, the song carves out its own purpose to talk about something that most people don't talk about. And here the topic is, I think, inescapably sad, because the chorus actually says, well, trees grow old, things grow old, but when people grow old, they're very alone, and they just need somebody to say hello in there, which is very evocative itself, that line in there. The other tune by Freebo, someone I had never heard of before you pointed him out, Craig, I just felt that he's very much in the vein of John McCutcheon, beautiful voice, and I like the story behind the song, which you shared with us just a few minutes ago, that he wrote it for a friend and who was worried about the wake he would leave in his passing and whether or not he'd be missed or recognized. And so that's the purpose of the song, the standing ovation. So I think that background story really helps you understand the song.
Very good, Pamela.
And I just want to say one quick thing, and Craig, I credit this to you because you said it, but I think it's so important. You said that music can open our hearts. And specifically for you, music with a message can open our hearts. And we certainly need more of that, in my opinion, in this world today. Open hearts.
Well, thank you all. And as we go out, I want to say that I'd like you to tune in next week for Dig This, Environmental Watch with Professor Pamela Spoto. So make sure you tune in 9 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning, and you're going to hear a great show then, too. As we go out, I want to play John McCutcheon's instrumental on the dulcimer, Leviathan. It's real quiet.